From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man, we pick up where we ended on our previous broadcast and present more of an episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank is talking with Tristan Osbay, Hungarian State Secretary for the Aid of Persecuted Christians and the Hungary Helps Program. Let's now join Hank and Secretary Osbay in their conversation.
I think Hungary is such a great example. You've mentioned a number of times that it is a small country, 10 million people or so. But what your agency has done has caused Hungary itself to grow stronger. And that has permitted your magnificent country to play a more significant role in humanitarian support. And I want you to elaborate on that, because what you're doing is ennobling, enriching, empowering your own country, and therefore it can be an ever more significant force, not only in the EU, but around the world. And I'm thinking about this in perspective to what happens when you're in an airplane. If there is a problem on the airplane, the first thing that happens is the masks come down and you're instructed to put on your mask first before you help other people. So in other words, you need to be strong so you can help other people in their own crises. And I think this is precisely what is happening to Hungary as a nation. It is growing ever more, not only popular, but strong in and of itself, and therefore it can provide a strength to other nations as well.
Well, I hope that my country can fulfill this mission. And as we are, at least on the governmental level, striving to set an example on how to support Christians and other persecuted people for their faith. Because I want to make a side note here. Supporting only Christians would not be Christian at all. So while we hold persecuted Christians as a priority for our support program, because by the numbers, the most persecuted religious group in the world, we find it as our moral obligation and Christian duty to support other persecuted faith groups. We work together with the persecuted Yazidi religious group in the Middle East, and also we supported persecuted Muslim communities, the Rohingya refugees who had fled from Myanmar to Bangladesh. So with that side note, instead, indeed, I have this general sense how Hungarian people are taking pride in the Hungary Helps mission, and it also made us better understand on who we are. And it provides inspiration and strength for us to not only support and defend Christianity in the humanitarian sense, but also defend and strengthen Christian civilization in the West. So therefore, talking about a little bit about politics, what we see now in Hungary is that we are having the ambition, and this is almost looks like as a fulfilled ambition, to start the modern Christian democratic revival, the Christian democratic political revival. We want to be an example state of how a modern Christian democratic country can be, how we can return to the Christian democratic idea, which was a political idea traditionally in the 20th century Europe. The whole European Union was founded by politicians who were Christian Democrats, and we want to return to that political school. And as it almost has been completely emptied in the last couple decades, we want to reinforce its original ideology. And just to explain to the American audience, Christian democracy is the politics that represents the social teachings of the Bible. It not completely relates, but almost it can be equated to what is usually called in the United States as Judeo-Christian values. So we are want to represent in our policies human dignity from the biblical sense. We base our policies on the beliefs that human was created in the mirror image of God, therefore its dignity should be protected. We want to reintroduce the traditional family, idea of family in our policies, and also the right and Christian mix of self-sustaining, but general solidarity. So this is a basic international political movement that the Orbán government has started. And we would not be able to do this successfully if we didn't have this experience of strengthening our own Christian identity by making this connection with the martyr church.
You have been criticized widely for your policies on migration, as has been Prime Minister Orbán. I want you to talk about the root of the problem. How do you eliminate the processes that trigger migration in the first place? And this is a very significant issue because we're facing illegal migration in the United States. It's a huge worldwide problem. And you have set down a template for how this problem should be addressed. You're saying that you have to go to the root of the problem, that people really want to embrace their own culture to begin with, and therefore, if you go to the root of the problem, you allow people to stay in their own territories by helping those territories, their own lands, their own countries, their own culture, their own identities, and therefore, you solidify that rather than exporting trouble to other places around the world.
Indeed, our principle is that right way to support people in distress, in suffering, in the humanitarian crisis regions, is to take the help where the problem is, not to import the crisis and the problem to where there is none by organizing mass migration. Illegal mass migration is harmful to all the parties involved. The host countries, the receiving countries, they will import all the social tensions and the security risk associated with illegal mass migration. The source regions of migration will lose their youth, because usually it's the young people who go on the migrations. They will lose their youth, the young people who would be able to reconstruct the country after, for example, an armed conflict. And also the migrants themselves, you know, they will be lured away based on lies of the traffickers and the migration promoting organizations, and they will suffer terrible disappointments when they will face the realities. So migration is harmful. Some organizations, even governments who promote migration, they try to portray that as the humanitarian response or the only morally right response. We think it's the opposite. Who promotes illegal mass migration commits a crime against humanity and against their own people, and also against the people they are claiming to try to help. Therefore, the Hungarian government introduced fair, reasonable, but strict measures against the illegal migration that has hit the Hungarian southern border in 2014, which is also the southern border of the European Union's free movement zone. And at the same time, that is when we started the Hungary Helps program, to eliminate, or at least try to eliminate, the source regions why people choose to migrate, to eliminate extreme poverty and conflicts and other humanitarian crises in the source regions. Now, I think, and I hope that the audience is convinced that this is the right way to do, but then the whole picture became clear. The reason why the Western European governments promoted mass migration, even invited migrants to their countries, was not because of humanitarian ideas or because of compassion and solidarity, as they claim, but because they needed cheap labor force for the stagnating economies. And therefore, when the Hungarian government stopped illegal migration, I mean, and truly by raising a border fence, we did stop it. Before building the fence, the number of illegal border crossings to Hungary were more than 1,000 per day. After that, it was zero. So once we stopped illegal migration, of course, it went against the economic interest of the Western Central European countries and governments. And that's when the whole, witch hunting against the Hungarian government started. That's when the fake human rights organizations started to create fake reports about how inhumane the Hungarian government is against the migrants. Yet we are persistent with these policies, and we are trying to show the alternative through our humanitarian program, the alternative and how it can be an efficient way to treat the root causes of migration.
How are you doing with that? I mean, I've seen the pictures of the people trying to get into Hungary and then the captions talking about the racist policies of Hungary to keep people out and so forth. So the images paint a very negative picture towards Hungary. How are you doing in the educational process trying to teach people a proper way of dealing with this worldwide phenomenon that is changing not only Western civilization, but changing the world?
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Secretary Tristan Osbay. One of the biggest mistakes people make is assuming that totalitarianism can't happen in their own country. Many American Christians are making that very mistake today, sleepwalking through the erosion of our freedoms. The new book, Live Not by Lies, by Rod Dreher, will snap you out of the slumber and equip you for the long resistance. To receive your copy of Live Not by Lies, a manual for Christian dissidents, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.
For years, émigrés from the former Soviet Union have seen telltale signs of soft totalitarianism cropping up in America. Identity politics intrude into every aspect of life. Progressives marginalize conservative Christians. Technology and consumerism create the possibility of a corporate surveillance state, and the pandemic has made our country vulnerable to demagogic manipulation. Alexander Solzhenitsyn famously said that one of the biggest mistakes people make is assuming totalitarianism can't happen in their country. Many American Christians are making that mistake today, sleepwalking through the erosion of our freedoms. Live Not by Lies, a manual for Christian dissidents by Rod Dreher, will help equip you for the long resistance. To receive your copy of Live Not by Lies, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit the Christian Research Institute online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. emigrace.org. Let's rejoin Bible Answer Man host Hank Hanegraaff and his guest, Secretary Tristan Osbay, in their conversation.
I've seen the pictures of the people trying to get into Hungary and then the captions talking about the racist policies of Hungary to keep people out and so forth. How are you doing in the educational process trying to teach people a proper way of dealing with this worldwide phenomenon that is changing not only Western civilization, but changing the world?
Well, we are trying to educate the world by, for example, at this moment, by talking to you, having this wonderful opportunity to engage in this interview with you. So we want to express clearly our principles. It is a human right to gain asylum when someone is fleeing for their lives because they are persecuted. And this is something that we observe. If somebody arrives to the Hungarian border and his or her life is in danger, therefore he or she wants to get asylum in Hungary or in the European Union, he or she will go through the application procedure and will be granted asylum. This is our moral obligation. This is our Christian obligation. And this is also based on the Human Rights Conventions of Geneva that we fully observe. But this is something we need to separate: refugees fleeing for their lives and illegal economic migration, because the right to life is a human right. But choosing another country where you want to live so you reach higher living standards, that's not a human right. And some countries, those countries whose society were built on migration, they can choose to take in economic migrants. It's their right, and we Hungarians respect that. For example, the US was built based on migration and migrant communities, and it is a successful country. But Hungary has decided not to invite economic migrants by large numbers, because that's not our culture, and our history tells us to keep our community and nation as it is, as a relatively free but homogeneous culture. And therefore, because we see illegal mass migration and economic mass migration as more harmful to our country as not, this is why we choose the policies that we have chosen. Nevertheless, we will let anyone in Hungary who is coming from a neighboring country and fleeing for their lives, not only we will let them in, but my state secretary even supports integration and rehabilitation programs for those people as well.
Yeah, so there's a distinction between legal migration and illegal migration. You're all for legal migration, but you're not for illegal migration. I think that's a fair summary of what you said. I want to switch the conversation a little bit to what you're doing in Africa, particularly in places like Nigeria. The focus of the persecution of Christians who have their lives at risk has clearly and markedly shifted to the sub-Saharan African region. And we need to be aware of that. And certainly your country is acutely aware of that.
Indeed, we are seeing a very alarming tendency in the sub-Saharan Africa in the recent years. We see a tendency of jihadist movements, organizations first taking foothold and then ruling entire regions in sub-Saharan Africa. And the locations where such genocidal attacks and jihadist activity appears is on the rise, the number of these locations. Every half year, we hear a new region that has been affected by atrocities. Now, basically, have franchise organizations in sub-Saharan Africa to all the major international jihadist organizations. For Al-Qaeda, for ISIS, we have different provinces and caliphates of ISIS being formed in different regions of Africa. And then we also have local jihadist groups and movements becoming more and more violent. First, we heard about the atrocities and the genocide committed by Boko Haram in the area of Nigeria, Chad, Cameroon, and Niger. Then we heard about Al-Qaeda and other jihadist organizations being present in Western Africa, in Mali, and from Mali spreading to other countries like Burkina Faso. Al-Shabaab, the Somalian terrorist organization ruling a big part of the country, is now making strikes and attacks in neighboring countries, such as terrorist attacks in Kenya. Quite recently, the Central African Caliphate, or province of the Islamic State in ISIS, had been formed. In the past couple of years, we have been receiving reports of growing Islamist atrocities in the DRC, the Democratic Republic of Congo. And what is even more striking and tragic, in the last couple of months, while the world was all focusing on the coronavirus pandemic, in complete secrecy, or at least having any attention from the world, a new genocide has started in the northern part of Mozambique. A jihadist organization is basically controlling now a full province of northern Mozambique, and which also caused tremendous suffering. We are receiving reports of mass murders by beheading from Mozambique, something that ISIS committed in its peak in Iraq and Syria. We are receiving that now. It's happening now. There are hundreds of thousands of people who had to flee and have no access to basic services. So this is something that we see in Africa. And therefore, we have started to follow the same principles and same humanitarian aid programs, same kind of programs that we have done a few years ago in the Middle East. All of those are starting with a fact-finding mission. My colleagues and I usually go to these crisis zones because we have to see it for our own eyes. What is the situation? And we have to ask directly the people what is their greatest need. And something, an interesting experience I would like to share with you, that whenever I go to a persecuted Christian community, whenever I go on the field, I usually start with a very simple question: how we can help? How we can help? This is something that I asked the bishop in Nigeria, ordinary people in Eastern Africa, but also Christian leaders in Iraq. And I remember when I asked this question in Nigeria with the bishop, the answer was very striking. The answer was that, you know, every sort of donation is very much needed and welcome, because we have suffered so much and we have lost our institutions and there is humanitarian need. But the plain fact that you came from a faraway country, you took the risk and visited us, and that after that you are asking us that how you may help us, it worth more than any donation, because finally we feel that we are not abandoned. So therefore, this bishop in Nigeria told me that they will tell all the congregations that someone came from a country they never heard of before and asked the question how we may help. Because that's a message that they are not alone anymore. They have hope that there are people that are at least caring for their faith and are willing to help. So this is, to answer your question, this is what we do in sub-Saharan Africa. We provide humanitarian assistance, rehabilitation aid, but we are trying to provide something more. We start to show and then extend our solidarity in every way possible to these people.
I want you to address, if you would be willing to, the difference between peaceful Muslims and Islam in general. Not all religions are created equal. Jesus was very, very clear that the gospel must always advance by word. Islam has demonstrated through word and deed that it is willing to advance by sword. We have 1,400 years of evidence on that count. Again, there are many peaceful Muslims. I remember going to speak in Iran at the University of Tehran and Allama Tabataba, their sociology university. And I met all kinds of Muslims who were so generous and kind to me during my time in Tehran. But Islam, nonetheless, is not a religion of peace. And what you described going on in sub-Saharan Africa is a demonstration of that. And what's happening now is we have a demographic time bomb that is threatening a Western world that is seemingly blind to the polygamous rush of migrant Muslims who are filling the vacuum left by aging, dying, and aborted Europeans. And while Western civilization continues to coddle this Islamic time bomb, it is simultaneously cultivating a rash of self-destructive ideals.
We've run out of time for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be sure to tune in again next time when we'll continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Tristan Özbay, Hungarian State Secretary for the Aid of Persecuted Christians and the Hungary Helps Program. Our daily commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you the book, Live Not by Lies, a manual for Christian dissidents by Rod Dreher. Call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website, equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more.
For years, émigrés from the former Soviet Union have seen telltale signs of soft totalitarianism cropping up in America. Identity politics intrude into every aspect of life. Progressives marginalize conservative Christians. Technology and consumerism create the possibility of a corporate surveillance state. And the pandemic has made our country vulnerable to demagogic manipulation. Alexander Solzhenitsyn famously said that one of the biggest mistakes people make is assuming totalitarianism can't happen in their country. Many American Christians are making that mistake today, sleepwalking through the erosion of our freedoms. Live Not by Lies, a manual for Christian dissidents by Rod Dreher, will help equip you for the long resistance. To receive your copy of Live Not by Lies, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit the Christian Research Institute online at equip.org. That's equip.org.